Hi, I'm Tara, and welcome to Let's Do Books. So I'm excited this week because Jax Meyer is back. Jax is the author of 5 lesbian romances. The latest is A Marine's Conflict, which is the 4th in the A Marine's Heart series. Welcome, Jax.
Hey, how's it going?
It's really good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. It's a nice sunny day here in Denver, Colorado, so I'm going to enjoy it.
So you are here today to talk about military lesfic.
And yes.
You both write it and you read it. So can you start by sharing with listeners why you write these stories? What draws you to them?
So I wish I could say I planned to write these stories, but the why actually all kind of comes together as to why I write them. So while I was writing Dulcegno, which was an accidental product as well, I realized that, you know, I wanted to create a character that had a background that I could understand. So I made her a Marine. And in creating the backstory, I was thinking, well, what would all happen? Started going through all of these old memories, because I've been out for 20 years now, which is mind-blowing to say some days, but 20 years, you forget a lot of things. And so exploring all of those little details made me realize how many things were still kind of left unresolved in my life. And so while Cam is resolving things in her story, in her grieving process, she realizes one of the reasons she can't fully let go is because her story wasn't told. Because it was Don't Ask, Don't Tell, very few people knew what she went through and what her relationship was like, because she couldn't even tell people it existed. And when I needed to, you know, I put the book into the world and I was like, I don't really know what I want to write yet. There was still this like nagging thing that said, I can't let this go yet. And it was for the same reason. Like, those of us who serve during Don't Ask, Don't Tell rarely talk about it with anyone except people who have been there. And usually even only the people who were physically there with us. Like, not even other people who served during that time, because it's such a complicated emotional time. So in order to move forward, I felt like I had to go backwards and write where Cam and Sharon meet. And I thought it would just be a short story. Like, oh, this would be cute. I'll just like do this and then I'll have a little short story and it'll be like a newsletter thing. That never happened. It added like another 100 pages on top of what Dulcegno's length was. I mean, this was not a short book. And the more I dove into it, the more I was like, man, there's so much to kind of dig up from this time. Now, granted, their story is super idealized. It's more like what I wish that time had been like for me, not all the realities of it. Mm-hmm. But I was able to show parts of that reality. So for me, I write this era because we know so little about it. And even there are plenty of veterans that don't even know it existed. They don't realize because it didn't affect them. If you were straight, why would you even care? Especially if you weren't a homophobe, right? So, like, you were just like, I just do my thing and it's fine. But for anyone who, even people who were married, but maybe they were bi, it still affected them. They knew that there was this part of themselves they couldn't even talk about. And they couldn't share it with anyone without it being a risk. So you take the military environment, which is supposed to be built upon trust. And everyone has everyone else's back. And it's supposed to be this fair place where you're treated based off of how you perform and not based off of irrelevant things. And then you add Don't Ask, Don't Tell on top of it, where you're judged off of something that has nothing to do with what you can do. And it takes away the trust factor, and it adds this layer of suspicion to everyone. And it also takes away recourse if someone is being a problem. So I purposely made the decision to do only hint at like the problem of sexual assault and things like that without anything actually happening.
Good.
Because we don't really need to read that. We know it's a problem. And that's enough to me. For me, it was, how can I show some of the bad stuff, also show some of the awesome side of things in the military, and just kind of give a different picture to what it is to be in the military when you're not allowed to be in the military. Or you're allowed to be there as long as you don't say anything or do anything, right? Which is a weird line to walk. And also at the same time, at least in the U.S., we're dealing with this debate over whether transgender people can serve as their appropriate gender. And so for me, I was watching the same irrelevant debates occur for people who are already serving and serving honorably and well, and who are outstanding people being told that they're not allowed to continue to do what they're doing. So I felt it was important for me personally to work through kind of that time of my life to also put another spotlight on something that most people don't know about and they're not going to know about. Because if someone just asked me, what was it like during Don't Ask, Don't Tell? I can't begin to tell you because I don't know what your motivation is. I don't know if I could trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And even if someone comes into it with a genuine interest to know, it's very easy for people to say something kind of offhanded and think that they're being nice, but it hits really weird. And then now I'm going and spending 24 hours thinking about something, you know, and like it sends me into an emotional spiral almost. And so it's like, it's risky, but but a book I can control. So I controlled this story as best I could. The characters were not controllable. They did whatever the hell they wanted. But for me, you know, like no one else was coming in and asking obnoxious questions or bringing up things that just you're not quite ready to talk about yet, maybe. So in the end, I was like, cool, I'm going to write this one book and then people are going to have an idea of why is Cam the way she is in Del Segno? Because of who she was at 20 and how that all formed her relationships and her friendships. And then, so I was able to actually take a break and write a completely different book. No military people. It was great. And then I went back and I said, well, now I'm in this weird spot. I need to take a break from that one. So why don't I hit this middle spot? And really for me, the middle spot was about, because we have Cam pre-autism diagnosis and post-autism. We don't know how that happened. And so I was finally ready to dive into that. And that allowed me to go, well, you know, people genuinely don't know, unless they've read one of the very few other books that handles this, they don't know what it's like to have a partner deployed when they can't talk about it. And so all of that kind of got drawn into that book. And in the process of writing that book, my friend asked if one of the side characters was gay. And I'm like, I genuinely don't know. I hadn't thought about it. This was just a moment in time. And then that turned into an hour later. I'm like, hey, do you want to co-write this book with me? Because I don't have time to write a full book and write this book at the same time. But it would be really cool to explore Don't Ask, Don't Tell from a different scenario. So an experience of someone when they're brand new to the military is very different than someone who's already done 13, 14 years and is hoping to finish up and then they meet someone. So that allowed me to get into a different aspect of this time period. And then that's ballooned into where book five is not, I'm not even writing it until 2021 or so. But in book five, I'm finally feeling ready to get into what were the darker experiences for me. And I will say no sexual assault, like nothing like that, but just what happens when you have zero support and you don't have like commands that are doing the right thing. And that you can feel like the heat coming down on you. And it's like, what do you do? And so book five is going to get into the most intense experiences for me, which will be super not fun to write, but very healing. And also really kind of paint a more broad picture, including bringing in fake marriages and the way people, you know, because I actually had a conversation with a friend of mine who was also super gay, and because I was getting back together with who's my now wife, so that was 20 years ago, debating, he's like, well, you know, if me and her got married, then she would get benefits, and then it wouldn't look so weird, and I'm like, I just can't do it, like, my integrity won't allow it to happen, but a lot of people, a lot is a weird word, I don't know how many, but plenty of people did that, where they, like, just married a friend, which was also illegal. So it's like, Don't Ask, Don't Tell made you choose between different illegal actions in order to simply serve, which was kind of mind-blowing. Because when you attract the right people to the military, they have integrity and honor and now you're asking them to do something that goes against their integrity. So that's why I write these stories. I think they will end at book 5, because it all brings everyone back around. It's actually going to cover both the Don't Ask, Don't Tell area, and then we'll jump forward like 17 years or so and be able to check in on Cam and Laura and Sarah, and I'll see how many characters I can realistically safely bring in and just kind of bring everyone full circle, because there's really long reaching effects. I know people that still won't date a veteran because it's just still in their head that that's too risky and that there's something wrong. And like, it's so sad that someone would be like, they could literally turn down someone who would be absolutely perfect for them, but there's this thing in their head that's just like, I just can't do it. And so, like, I don't think people realize it. They think that it's just kind of minor. And unless someone spent a really long time in the closet, I don't think they know what that does and what that, like, how that sits in your heart for, could sit there for decades in its own form of, it's not really PTSD, but it's just an impact, right? It's just like a, this mm-hmm. little trauma that just sits there. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's how can we show this also without getting too heavy? And it's still a romance. It's still fun. And there's still really enjoyable things that happen. But it's history. I've never been in a bar raid. I've never been in that part of, you know, our queer history. But I was part of this like 20-year time period where things were weird and we thought this was an improvement, and it kind of was, but it was still really bad. And we're still debating this because we're mm-hmm. still saying trans people can't serve. And I'm like, this is mind blowing. So that's kind of where all of this comes in. And it's a lot easier to just tell in a story than to let people let me ramble.
Mm-hmm. So one more book, unless maybe your characters misbehave and tell you there's another book coming after that.
Oh, God. There's, you know, and there's always that possibility. And the way I'm looking at it now, though, so literally the past month, while book 4 has been at the editor, which will be out by the time this airs, I've been writing the beginning of Marine Awakening from Sharon's point of view, which is really hard to do when you wrote something already. It's easier and harder because you want to make something new and interesting. But because the story's written from Cam's point of view only, I wanted to just dive in and let people kind of see what's this other side. And so, but I think I finally found a way to do this in smaller chunks, and they'll be just newsletter releases, and readers will be able to read it. But I don't expect any actual like books up on Amazon in the series, but characters do what characters do. The only good thing is I'm going to be so busy for the next year or so that they'll have to wait. I don't know. Yeah. In 5 years, I might go, I had no idea what I was talking about. And that's a good thing.
Thank you for being an awesome listener and supporting Tilt, the channel that brings you all the podcasts you want to hear. You're listening to Tilt. Find more podcasts on thelesbiantalkshow.com.
So you not only write military fiction, but you also read it.
Reading military fiction is definitely a trickier thing for me because I am still even working through my own issues around all of it. I'm really sensitive to when people do things wrong, and not wrong, like, it's hard to even describe when things are wrong that I can overlook it and when things are wrong and I can't. And it, in the end, comes down to kind of like respect is what it feels like when it hits me wrong. So the first book that I read that just blew me away with how amazing it was E.J. Noye's Astell series. And I did genuinely shy away from it for a while because I was like, oh man, if this is done wrong, it could really suck. But it was not only done incredibly well. I mean, I'm not a surgeon, and I wasn't a soldier. So there could be little things that I didn't notice, but I didn't care. But there were all the universal military elements in there. And what I appreciate is kind of twofold. There's the reminders of the things that I enjoyed. Like, there's little moments in the military that look weird from the outside. And we will laugh at the stupidest things. And even if someone else gets in trouble and they're like having to do push-ups, that's hilarious to us. Because we're not doing it. And because we know it's like not a big deal in the end. It's just part of the game. And it kind of brings you back to the weird the weird time in boot camp where it was awful at times, but also amazing because you were like, you were being pushed and accomplishing things that you didn't know for sure you could do. So there's this weird, like, that's what, there's dark humor in the military, and it gets a little weird, but it's also really kind of fun. And then there's also the aspect of, there's a lot of things I missed out on because of my situation. So I like seeing the camaraderie and like it, little things like, especially in that book, like the friendships, even when, like, especially you have to have a gay best friend in the military. It may not always be a guy, but you have to have someone. And that, like, that person is amazing to have. But also even just like the football games, because they have these flag football games that are good natured but competitive. And there's just all these like the little aspects of camaraderie that I didn't have much of because of my situation that I like reading about, even though it's a little bittersweet. And so there, it's like it triggers all the things that I wanted to be able to do or learn or experience while I was in that I didn't get to. And then I think in the end, what a lot of people really like, not just me, is when you've got a characters in the military, you've got this interesting mix of, they've got this strength and competence, but then since it's a romance, especially, you've got this vulnerability and like this opening up that is also, I think, the same reason why people love like Ice Queens, right? It's that thing you're like, wow, you're amazing. And then like, behind closed doors, you're like this different person, and there's this other side of you, and we don't get to see that normally, right? So like you're not going to see that those other softer sides of someone in the military, usually just walking around and hanging out with people. That's something you kind of, you earn that. We don't usually easily drop our walls and just show ourselves to people. So from a character side, I really enjoy watching that develop. And like my favorite example is Eliza Lenski's Don't Call Me Hero, which I just listened to this last week. And it was another book that I was like, I don't know if I want to read it or not. I don't know how it's going to be handled. I thought it was going to be a heavier book. And then it opens with the character being an absolute klutz, spilling drinks on the person that she's trying to like talk to. And it's hilarious. She's so human. I think we can, it's very easy to relate to someone who's just kind of klutzy, even though they're also totally competent in their military side, and she can't talk to the woman. Like, it's endearing and adorable and super fun. And it was actually a really enjoyable book, and I'm super glad that I gave it a chance, because it brought up, again, a lot of that lighthearted stuff. And the character's a cop, and you get some of that buddy, those buddy relationships with her fellow cops. And so kind of hits all those little spots for me of breaking some of the stereotypes while still having some of the stereotypes, and that just hits a really good sweet spot for me. Those are the type of books and the type of characters that I really enjoy. I mean, I could still get behind things like, I mean, Radcliffe writes some pretty interesting veteran characters, but they definitely kind of tend to hit that like the action hero mold, which is fun, but they're not quite as engaging to me. Like, those are like aspirational, but I can't relate to them. Like, I will never be that awesome and badass. I can relate to Cassidy being a total and complete klutz and just stumbling over her words. And I love that. So I think that's where I like reading them. I'm just always cautious about them.
So can you tell us about your latest book?
My latest book is a total departure in a lot of ways. It's the first dual point of view in the Marines Heart series. It's my first co-written book. And that all came about because my co-writer, L. Armstrong, is one of my alpha readers. So I like having what I call alpha readers, which are, they read as I write, and they put up with my questions of, does this make sense? And do you like this or not? Or, you know, like all those little insecurity questions that pop up. And so she was reading it, and there's an interaction with Cam and her gunny, who was also her drill instructor 6 years ago, and is like the Marine she looks up to. And I think most people in the military have had that. They have that one person that they just idolize and is amazing. And they're just like, you're the best and I just don't want to disappoint you. And they have a conversation shortly before she's getting ready to leave. It might even be the day of. It's been a month and a half since I've read this book where, you know, they have this veiled conversation because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And she's like, okay, I'm assuming you're staying in town. She's like, oh, and if I look at your, you know, your address of record, am I going to see a certain sergeant's name on that? And so it's like her telling her, she knows that Cam and Sharon are together. And in that moment, like, but Cam doesn't know if Gunny knows. And so that's where Elle was like, is Gunny gay? Please make Gunny gay. I want Gunny to be gay. And I'm like, I don't know. It's totally not really relevant in this moment. I haven't written this far. And I don't even know if she's going to be relevant in the rest of the book. It was just a moment that I feel like is a universal military moment. So I wanted it in there. And then as we talked, I was like, well, it could be really fun since Cam is going to college locally that Cam's professor would be dating Gunny. And so that turned into an idea of, I don't have time to write two books at the same time, but these overlap in time. They have to be written at the same time or something's going to get broken. And so I was like, hey, why don't we consider co-writing this? And so because Elle is in England, it's like, cool, let's make the professor a British expat. And then we can play around with some of that stuff, because that's always fun when you get, like, you get to work in little bits of slang and little misunderstandings and just people's different perspectives. And I mean, a math professor and a career military person who's just never gone to college certainly doesn't think about math and all of that. So it was fun to go, cool, let's see what happens. And so they begin as a total hookup, and they meet in the bookstore. Like, it's just a different side to military life as well. Like, people don't think of Marines reading, you know, and like kind of wanting an intellectual life and wanting a slower life at times. We have just a lot of misconceptions. So they meet, it becomes an instant attraction. And for Megs, who's what she goes by, Cam always calls her Gunny because that's just what she's used to. But her name's Margaret. That's not a name that applies to her. So Megs, it works. Like, so they meet in the bookstore and they go back to Mag's place and have a very, very good time. And then it's supposed to just be a hookup, but then they click. And so how do you handle the fact that you met someone who you would very easily just turn into a relationship if it weren't for this policy? And so they walk a very awkward, and they don't do it very well at all, but they turn it into a friends with benefits thing. Even though they just met, they become friends and they're not going to keep their hands off each other. And so that, like, is like this slow, just awkward, like they can't even properly define the relationship because Mags is so scared of this destroying her career and her making mistakes. So we follow their relationship for a while, and then it jumps, then they start overlapping in timeline with book three. It's because now we've got a deployment coming up. And then in book four, well, Lane needs to meet Cam. And so we get to see Cam interacting with people besides Sharon and Cam from someone else's perspective for the first time. And then we also get to see parts of Sharon without Cam around, because she has all these interactions with Mags. And so it was really fun for me to explore these different elements of the characters and also look at, from Mags' perspective, she's a leader. And so she's not only responsible for following policy, she's responsible for making sure everyone else follows policy. And so one key moment early is she ends up having to pick up one of her Marines from a gay bar. And she has to face her own, like, how she manages her life and how does she manage this Marine who didn't actually do anything wrong, but got in a situation and thus things happen. So how do you have to manage all of these different conflicting things for a policy that's just idiotic to begin with? It's definitely a little bit of a different book but it shows another aspect. And it's also just two really fun and interesting characters. It's also another way for someone to jump into the series. They don't necessarily have to know anything else that comes before then. They can actually jump into book four, and they can always then kind of go back and forth and kind of see if that's interesting to them. But it's just, yeah, it's definitely a different experience for me, especially with co-writing, but it adds some really cool elements to it. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what people think of it.
Yeah, I'm curious. I haven't read the others before, but you kind of got me on the professor, bring mm-hmm. the professor in, so I think I might have to check this one out.
It's also, you know, this is the first time that we're seeing a relationship between someone who's in and someone who's a civilian. So there's this, a different push and pull than when both are in. And then, so yeah, hopefully it'll be, because I understand there are definitely people where military is not their thing for lots of reasons, I'm sure. One of which being they probably don't think they can relate to it. But I would say there's a lot of relatable things in there. And I try not to dive too heavily into like military like jargon and that the world. It's more like, who are they outside of that part of their life? So it's definitely a little different. And I know also for me, I would say none of these stories address like PTSD and like the super heavy topics. They're there. There's some people who read Sharon as having some PTSD when she comes back, but it's not. It's just normal reintegration. There's just a normal human process of going from super high stress to, there's no danger here. I have to learn how to like calm down. And like, so I figured there are people who do the PTSD stories really, really well. You know, EJ Noye's book handles it really well. Eliza Linsky handles it in another interesting way, where it's not super heavy. It's there and she addresses it. So I feel like for people who want to dive into like super angsty and stuff, there are definitely books there. But if you're worried that some of these books are like maybe super angsty or really get too deep into mental health and stuff like that, I would say mine don't. The Astel series does not. I mean, it kind of does. but it's well done and enjoyable. And like Eliza's doesn't. So I feel like if you're maybe a little cautious, definitely check out reviews and maybe give it a try. And if you know it's not for you, that's totally cool too. Like there are a lot of books that aren't for me either. So I'm definitely okay with people saying it's not my thing. Cool.
Where can people find you online if they want to connect with you?
So my website kind of links to everything, and that's just jacksmeyerauthor.com, I think. Honestly, now I've forgotten my own website. That's wonderful.
We will put it in the show notes.
Put it in the links. I'm most active usually on Twitter, which is at butchjax, and that's where you get, I usually just try to keep it to posting updates about what I'm writing. And for the next year, actually, I'm in a screenwriting program for veterans. So if you want to also kind of follow along with that process, which will be interesting, and watch my process develop that, and hopefully I'll be able to post little snippets and, you know, just little things. Twitter's usually the best way to go, but it always, it copies over to my Facebook and all of that, so. At this point, still, all my books are exclusive to Amazon, except if they're on paperback, then you can get them pretty much on any independent bookstore. And if you are not an Amazon user, or you don't have Amazon, because that's a weird thing, just send me a message wherever you find me, whether that's an email or Twitter or Facebook, whatever, and we'll work something out. So, because you shouldn't be stuck with the Amazon monopoly.
No, you shouldn't. That is all for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks. This is always super fun. And if people have recommendations or questions, feel free to reach out.
I'm Tara, and you've been listening to Les Do Books. You can email me at tara@thelesbianreview.com with your questions or comments. If you're an author who's interested in joining me on the show to talk about the lesfic you love or the trends that have you interested, please let me know. If you've enjoyed this episode, please check out the show notes where you'll find a Patreon link for Tilt or visit patreon.com/thelesbiantalkshow. Our patrons get exclusive content like bonus podcasts that no one else gets access to. To find this and many other great shows, all you need to do is search for Tilt, spelled T-L-T, on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, or Spotify.